Hello. How are you? Hey, listen, I want to tell you a story before we start. Thursday, I went to Los Angeles to view a movie that's coming out in either October or April called Trade. The people who made the movie Crash made this movie, and it's about the human sex trade that goes on around the world. About 800,000 to a million people kidnapped and sold into slavery. San Diego being one of the main ports of the sex trade in this country anyway. And this movie was the hardest thing I ever watched in my life. It was an hour and 53 minutes, and probably for an hour I could have walked out. The first hour was actually the whole thing was very impossible to bear. I had my daughter with me. They kidnapped two girls, totally unrelated. One is about 20-something years old. Another is 13 years old. And they take them from Mexico City to New Jersey. And they do to them what goes on in that process to prepare them to be sold on the internet at a bidding. It's ridiculous. One girl was raped in the movie. That scene was very difficult to watch. And it just made me so mad, hot. And after the movie, we talked about, there were about 50 people there from the faith community, talked about suggestions about the movie, what the faith community is going to be able to deal with and watch and bear. And my question was, what can we do? You know, after you watch it, something you want to be able to do something. And we'll keep you informed because when it comes out, we'll tell you about it. And I'll tell you, if you can't stomach brutally honest, satanic treatment of people, you don't want to see this movie. But it is what happens every day. And it happens right here in this city. They come right across our border, and they have palaces right here in this city where they keep these people and sell them. So it's probably the most worst thing the devil can do. The reason I tell you this story is because, one, it's so still fresh in my heart. And, two, it just fired me up more to do what we do. And it made me so mad at the devil and so mad at everything that distracts me personally from being focused on evangelism, you know, the pettiness of people that are in my life or whatever they're at. And it's like, look, that I don't even want to, this is so life and death today. Life and death today. And the only reason I would encourage people to watch this movie is because it didn't touch reality, but it is very, very raw. Now, why do I tell you that now? It's because we're getting ready to have a quiz, and we're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to laugh and shout and all that kind of stuff. But I want to put the quiz that we're going to do in context, and church in context, that as we have fun in church and as we have our nice little sunny San Diego and our nice little cars and our nice little places we live and our nice little this and that, that we remember why we do it, that we remember why we do it. And we also remember that a lot of the petty things the devil causes us to lose focus on Jesus and his word and being obedient and the lives that we're trying to save, that we don't let that stuff get in our way. And so I just wanted to throw it at you. I've been telling the other services this story at the end of the message. I decided, you know, let me tell you at the beginning, because I want you to get fired up. And as we're learning this stuff, you may think, what do I need to know this stuff for? You need to know the word of God. All of it is healthy and good for you. And some of the things you're going to learn in this quiz we're going to do, you can use today to minister to somebody. And you'll figure out what that is, and some of it's going to minister to you. But I want to always keep in context the building we're building. The building we're building is not to have a physical structure. We don't need the hassle. It is a hassle. Anybody in construction knows it is hard work and a pain in the neck. No one needs it. But it's going to facilitate us reaching hundreds of times more people, millions of people total. That's why we do it. It's as simple as that. And so, and it's a very difficult process, raising money. Oh, who wants to do that? But it's necessary. And we do it, why? So we can save souls. So as we do this quiz, I want you to just keep that in your mind, that this is for a reason. And when I was driving home from that the film, and ever since then, I just keep hearing this word in my mind, fight, fight, fight. And when you feel like you're getting discouraged, because I had some other stuff going on in my life at the time, that, and you feel like you're getting beat down, you have to hear this word, fight. God wants you to fight like a good fighter. Don't lay down and say, well, okay, I'll just get beat down. No, God has given you a spirit of sonship. You cry, Abba, Father, and you beat the devil down. And so I just want, as we do this, I want you to be thinking, this is for all the people who are lost, so I can be equipped to help them. The little girl in the movie, I think her name was Adriana. She was 13. She's from Mexico City, and she was high priced because she had never been with anybody sexually before, so she was special, and they sold her as that. And I think about that little girl. I have her mind right in my head, and 90% of the movie she had the horror face look on her face of horror, because she was taken from her mom and taken from Mexico City to New Jersey, 13 years old. Innocent little, pure little girl. And the devil took her. And I think about her, and I think about that's why we got to fight for those kids and those people who the devil's just abusing and lying to. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we know you, that you have us in a world that's evil and wicked. We know there's a devil that's alive, but we also know that you are greater than he who's in the world. And so we know that you can defeat him. You have defeated him. His days are numbered. We know that he hates us, but you love us. We know he lies to us, but you tell us the truth. We thank you for that. And thank you today that we can learn more about your word, your infallible word of God. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Are y'all bummed out now? Come on now. Hey. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Let's see your pens. And your lesson plan. Okay, you don't need any of that. It's just going to be your brains and your mouths. Okay, quiz time. Everyone say quiz time. How many people have never been to a quiz? Raise your hand. If you've never been to one of our quizzes, it's okay. We're not going to do anything to you. Okay, the quiz position is what? Booty back. Put your booty back. That means sit up straight. Put your booty back in the seat. That's rule number one. You got to get in the quiz position. Rule number two is that you have to speak in the quiz. No one just sits around and listens. You have to speak. So everybody say with me as practice, say Jesus. Very good. This is a quiz. This is my fifth quiz. I'm going to use more energy than you because I have to say a whole lot more words than you. So therefore, when you're asked to say a word, you got to use a lot of energy. Amen? Let's try one more time. Who's the man?
Jesus.
What's the name of the church you're at?
Rock.
Who's our Savior?
Jesus.
And he is the blank of our salvation. What's the name of the church?
Rock.
Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Okay. Now, whenever I go on a trip out of town, which I am not a big fan of, I love right here, San Diego. People call, say, yeah, come downtown, we're going to do this. I say, I live in San Diego. Why would I want to come the way you are? You come here. When I was little, my kids used to ask me, Daddy, how come all those people you're going to speak to can't just come here? It was a great question. I said, I'm sure they would love to come here, but it's not practical. Anyway, when I go on a trip, I like to know everything. What time's the plane? What's the airline? Who's going to pick me up at the airport? What time do I speak? How long am I supposed to speak? What am I supposed to speak about? Do they have a microphone? Do they have a podium? How many people are going to be there? Who's going to pick me? How long from the airport to the venue? Do I got to go to a hotel? Every little thing so I know I don't want to have a surprise. I want to be focused so when I get there, I'm ready. What we're going to do today, next week, is we're going to start a series through the book of Numbers. Everyone say Numbers. So instead of starting the book first and doing the quiz after, we're going to do a quiz today to kind of give you an overview of what Numbers is about. Tell you where we're going. Called a road trip. See the word road up there? And the word trip up there? Okay, it's a road trip. So we're tripping. And so we're going to talk big picture today, road trip. And then when you leave here, you kind of know what the book of Numbers is about. And then next week, we'll start the book. Is that cool? Kind of has to be because that's the only thing I got planned for today. Okay. Genesis, the book of beginnings. Say beginnings.
Beginnings.
Genesis, the book of what?
Beginnings.
In Genesis, we saw the beginning of the heavens and the earth. We saw the beginning of all the animals, the birds, the bees, the sky, the stars, supernovas. We saw the beginning of man. We saw the beginning of woman. We saw the beginning of marriage. We saw the beginning of sin and the penalty of sin, which is death. We also saw the beginning of the Israelite nation through Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Abraham had a son named what?
Isaac.
Abraham had a son named who?
Isaac.
Isaac had a son named Jacob. Isaac had a son named who?
Jacob.
Say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Jacob's
name was changed to Israel. Say Israel.
Israel.
He had 12 sons. How many sons did he have?
12.
Those 12 sons became the 12 heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. How many tribes of Israel are there?
12.
How many sons did Jacob have?
12.
Jacob's name was changed to?
Israel.
Jacob's name was changed to?
Israel.
Very good. And the second book of the Bible is Exodus. Exodus is two words. Exodus is what from where? Look at the exit sign. Exodus is E-X. Exodus is E-X. Exodus means you exit somewhere. So for the rest of your life, when you walk out of some place that says Exodus sign, you think of Exodus. Exit from Egypt. The leader of the Exodus was who?
Moses.
Everyone say Moses.
Moses.
Say Moses.
Moses.
So whenever you walk out of any place, Think of Exodus, and the person in front of you is Moses. The person behind you is Israel. The building is Egypt. Okay? And you're walking out of bondage. Okay? You just put that in your mind for every time. You'll never forget it. And so what happened was the first book of Genesis, you saw the beginning of everything, including the Hebrew nation. At the end of Genesis, they went to Egypt. Between Genesis and Exodus, they grew to 2 million-something people and became slaves. Exodus, they left Egypt. Moses led them out. After 10 plagues, God threw all these miracles, and they came to a place called Mount
Sinai.
Say Sinai.
Sinai.
Say Sinai.
Sinai.
I do this because this is sinuses. Sinai, sinuses. Okay? So Genesis, everything began. They go to Egypt. Exodus, they leave Egypt. They come to a place called Mount Sinai, and that's where you get the book Leviticus, the third book of the Bible. Leviticus. Everyone say Leviticus.
Leviticus
is a book about holiness. About what?
Holiness.
Say it again. Say it three times.
Holiness, holiness.
Genesis is the book of beginnings. Exodus is exit from Egypt. Leviticus is the book about holiness. Genesis is the book of what?
Beginnings.
Genesis is the book of what?
Beginnings.
Exodus is what from where?
Exodus from Egypt.
Leviticus is the book about what?
Holiness.
And now you're at Mount Sinai. Okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Sinai. Now they're getting ready to leave Sinai and walk. This is the book of Numbers. They're going to walk for 38 and a half years. They've already traveled over a year. The whole wilderness wandering is 40 years. Everyone say 40.
40.
Remember that number. They walked total 40. But they've already traveled a year plus. Now they're going to walk 38 years. That's in the book of Numbers. Now, Numbers is about two things. First, Numbers is about numberings. Duh. I'm going to do this. You're going to say numberings. Numbers is about what? Numberings with an S. Say numberings.
Numberings.
Numberings. Very good. Because they numbered the people two times. Or they had two censuses. You know what a census is? Plural. It's really words. Censuses. That's a real word. I didn't know if it was true. Censuses. They had a census in the beginning and a census at the end. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So numbers is about what? Say it with confidence. And it's also about a book of wandering. This is wandering. So what's this mean?
Wandering.
Do it again.
Wandering.
Say it again.
Wandering.
Take a deep breath in and then say wandering.
Wandering.
Very good. So it's about what?
Wandering.
And?
Wandering.
Okay, very good. Now, how many of y'all hate math? Very good. We're going to give you a whole bunch of numbers. You're going to love math by the end of this thing. God uses numbers all throughout the Bible, very specifically. You can't measure anything without a number. You can't even measure someone's love without a number. You can't. How often does your man bring home flowers? And how many flowers? You can't measure your life transformation without a number. I used to do cocaine 3, 4, 5 times or whatever a week. Now I do it zero. Number. You can't measure God's love without a number. He gave his one and only son. What if God had 1,000 sons that died every day and rose from the dead every day? It wouldn't have been that big a deal that one of his sons died for you. But he only had one. And he could only die once. That's what made it a bigger deal than if he had more than one. So God uses numbers as a measuring tool throughout the whole Bible. Okay? And so in this, we'll give you some numbers. Number two, everyone say two. There were over 2 million people that walked through the wanderings. 2 million what?
People.
Say it again.
People.
I'm going to give you several things that have to do with two. So one, the first one is 2 million people. Say people.
People.
Say it with confidence.
People.
Then there were two generations of people. I'm going to say 2 million people. You're going to say people. 2 million what?
People.
And then I'm going to say two blank people. And you can say generations. Two blank of people. What?
Generations.
Say it again.
Generations.
Say it again. Very good. There were two leaders, Moses and Aaron. Say Moses and Aaron.
Moses and Aaron.
There were two leaders of this. Moses and Aaron. Who were the two leaders?
Moses and Aaron.
There were only two guys who walked out of Egypt at the Exodus and walked into the Promised Land. Everybody died on the journey except two. And it wasn't Moses and Aaron. I'll tell you who they are in a minute. Isn't that messed up? Yes?
No, that's what they get for complaining.
Say, what did you say?
That's what they get for complaining.
That's what they get for complaining. But it's kind of messed up. That God says, I want to take all of y'all out of slavery. Let's go to the promised land, and none of y'all make it but two. That's messed up. Almost the population of San Diego, 2 million people. Two-thirds of the population of San Diego all died. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. How many tribes of Israel are there?
Wow.
How many sons of Jacob are there?
Wow.
How many months in the year are there?
Wow.
How many toes do you have? In Numbers, the numbers started at the Mount Sinai. Say Mount Sinai. And the trip ended in the plains of Moab. This is Moab. Moabs. Just a little something I threw together this morning. Okay. So the trip started at Mount what? Ended at what? Plains of what? Moab. Say Moab. Moab. Okay. Now. Say the number 11. Say 11. It was 11 days. It was an 11-day trip from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. Now, how many years did they walk total?
40.
It was an 11-day trip from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. It was an 11-day trip from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. They got to the Promised Land. They sent in one spy for every tribe of Israel. How many spies is that?
12.
Excellent. 12 spies. They go in and they spot the land for 40 days. How many days?
40.
How many days?
40.
How many days did Jesus fast in the wilderness when the devil tempted him?
40.
How many days did Goliath talk trash when David killed him?
40.
How many days did it rain when Noah built his ark?
40.
How many days did the spy spot the land in the
wilderness?
40, thank you. 40, 40, 40, 40, 40. How many weeks is a woman pregnant?
40.
40. Give or take, she's pregnant 40 weeks. Okay. These spies spy out the land for 40 days. 12 spies. They come back, and they all testify that the promised land is exactly what God said. Flowing with milk and honey. You ever hear that term, milk and honey? You can't have milk unless you have a cow. Can't have a cow unless you have grass. Can't have grass unless you have good irrigation and good soil. You can't have honey unless you have a bee and a plant and a flower. Okay? So when you have milk and honey, you got all the other stuff too. You follow me? Okay? So it's got milk and honey. It can sustain fruits and vegetables. It can sustain animals. It can grow stuff. That's good land. Okay? Are we with me on this? Okay. They go in and every 12 spies say it was good. 10 of the spies say, but, and we'll say but. Our problem is that we have butts that are too big. I'm probably going to do a sermon, your butt's too big to get to heaven. I'm going to do a sermon call, something like that. That's a good title. Your butt's too big to get in heaven, something like that. But God, but what about this? But what about this? 10 spies said the land is just what God said, but there's giants in the land. And we can't beat them. We're like grasshoppers in that sight. And the 10 spies convinced 2 million people to not go into the promised land. You know what God said? Okay. How many days did they spy out the land?
40.
How many days did they spy out the land?
40.
God says, for every day you spy out the land, I'm going to walk you for 1 year. And until all of you die. That's jacked up. They were right there. They were in it. Do you know that some of y'all are right at the edge of God's blessing and you won't take it? It's right there. You won't take it because you see something that you don't like or that scares you. And God is saying that's part of the deal. That's part of the deal. I'm not going to remove that for you. That's all part of the deal. The promised land represents a place of God's full blessing. God's full what?
Blessing.
God's full what?
Blessing.
God's full blessing comes in good times and bad times. Well, we have been convinced that the bad times aren't of God, so we got to avoid them. But that's not in the Bible. The Bible says it is part of the plan. It is part of God grooming you. It is because what makes things bad is because we don't want them. But the reason God is changing you because you grab things you shouldn't have. And so these guys are right at the promised land. These 2 million people took their word for it that they, because they had a lack of faith, they said, okay, well, we won't go in the promised land. I wonder which one of those 10 people you have in your life telling you bad information. In other words, God's trying to bless you and somebody is chirping in your ear. Negativeness. Negativity. Lies. Gossip. Critical stuff. And it's preventing you from getting God's blessing. Today. Right now you can be blessed. And what are you doing? Wandering. Blaming this person, that person, this church, this job, that job. And it's all about you. And you know what? Sometimes that person is your best friend. Ooh. I have a theory. My theories mean nothing. So you could take it with a grain of salt or you could chuck it out. How many days they spot the land?
40.
How many days they walk in the wilderness?
40.
I have a theory, and here's my theory, and it's a question. I wonder if there is a ratio between the time it takes you to obey God and the time it takes God to bless you. I wonder if there's a ratio in the numbers of times you blow God off and the numbers of times he doesn't answer your prayer when you want it. Or if there's a ratio between the numbers of times you talk behind someone's back and someone talks behind your back. God says you spy for 40 days, you're going to walk for 40 years. For every day, you deserve a year. I don't know there is no formula that I know about to define that ratio. I'm just throwing it out there to you. And when I'm throwing it out to you, the longer you wait, the longer it's going to wait on you. Now, I don't know how God does that. I'm sure he does it different. Every person, because everybody's different. But all I'm telling you is stop wasting time. Take God at his word. Do what he says. Understand the obstacles are going to be there, but now you have God to empower you to deal with them. So here these people are at the promised land. How many days from Mount Sinai to the promised land?
11.
How many days from Mount Sinai to the promised land?
11.
Can everybody say 11, please?
11.
Thank you very much. We're quizzed. Now let's go. How many days between promised land and then Mount Sinai?
11.
Very good. How many generations are we talking about?
2.
How many million people are we talking about?
2.
How many leaders are we talking about? How many, two leaders, Moses and Abraham, how many spies?
12.
How many spies?
12.
How many bad spies?
10.
That means there were two good ones. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. Say Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb.
Say it again.
Joshua and Caleb.
Those were the only two guys that walked out of Egypt and went to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua has his own book called Joshua. Everyone else died. Why? Because the Bible says Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They believed God. They said, we see the giants. We see the obstacles, but we believe God can get us through. God said, that's the type of person I'm looking for. You have to decide, one, what kind of person you're going to be and what kind of person you're going to follow and what kind of advice you're going to get. Because there are people going to tell you, oh, don't do it. Oh, what about this? And other people are going to tell you, trust God. Trust God. It's not about what you could do. It's about what God can do. You do not want to try what you can do. How boring is that? You want to go for something that God, a God side. We did our first crusade in 1996. It was, oh my gosh, it was death. Death. And we said, we want to do something that is God, that we can't do. It was so unbelievable. So beyond, it was so above our head. God wants to call you, and you know what? God may want to call you something that's above your head, and it may simply be living a holy life. Just that. That's good enough. Just live a holy life. Be an honest person. Stop lying. Stop being a hypocrite. Stop blowing up and yelling at people out of anger. Stop getting drunk every Friday night because you want to drown your sorrows. Just get over that hump first. Try, give that to God. So these 10 guys were like, oh, no, we can't. These two guys said, no, let's go for it. And everybody believed the 10. And everybody died because of those 10. You do not want to have someone's advice lead you around your whole life and die. That is the pits. That's a whole sermon we're going to do, by the way, later on. Okay. You had to be 20 years old to serve in the army. How old you have to be serving the army?
20.
How old you have to be serving the army?
20.
Do you know that Israel today, as soon as you turn 18, I believe it is, every single teenager serves in the army 1 or 2 years? Every single one. You go there today, you will see a bunch of teenagers walking around with guns. Today. Every single one. In this book, you had to be 20 years old. If you wanted to serve in the tabernacle, you had to be between 30 and 50. Between what two ages?
30 and 50.
Say it again.
30 and 50.
Genesis, the book of what?
Beginning.
Are you guys tired? You hot? Okay, everyone take a deep breath. Hold it. Whew. Genesis is the book of?
Beginning.
Exodus is what from where? Leviticus is a book about what? And Leviticus took place at Mount what?
Sinai.
Very good. Mount Sinai, Numbers is about two things. The first one is what?
Numbers.
The first one is what?
Numbers.
And the next one is what?
Numbers
started at Mount
Sinai.
Ended at the plains of?
Moab.
The leader, there were two leaders. Who were the leaders of the whole thing?
Moses.
Who were the two guys that made it out of Egypt and walked into the promised land?
Joshua.
There were 2 million what that walked on this trek?
People.
2 million what? 2 million what?
People.
And two blank of people.
Generations.
They took two censuses. Why? Because the first census was when they started. They go to the promised land. God pronounces a death sentence. They all die. They get to the plains of Moab. You got to take a second census because they're all dead. He had a whole new generation. The first census was to organize them for the march. The second census was to organize them to take over the land. How many censuses? How many censuses?
Two.
If I say how many numberings, it's the exact same thing. How many numberings?
Two.
How many generations?
Two.
How many million plus people?
Two.
How many leaders?
Two.
How many guys who had a different spirit?
Two.
How many good spies?
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 Two.
How many bad spies?
Two.
How many total spies?
One.
How many months of the year?
One.
How many fingers do you have?
Ten.
Very good. Very good. I know how many toes I have. In this story, this series is called Road Trip because the trip they took from Egypt to the Promised Land is a metaphor, a word picture of people coming out of slavery into God's blessing. When you are saved, you walk out of spiritual slavery into God's blessing, freedom in Christ. So this whole book is about, and this series is going to be about that trip and all the different components of taking a successful road trip into the promised land. We're going to learn things you shouldn't do. You're going to learn about things you should do. One is believe God through the impossible miracles. Throughout this trip, their shoes and clothes never wore out. Their shoes and clothes never did what?
Wore out.
Say wore out.
Wore out.
Say wore out.
When
they left Egypt, they left after the first Passover. After the first what?
Passover.
After the first what?
Passover.
When they left Sinai for the road trip, they left after the second Passover. After the second what?
Passover.
After the second what?
Passover.
Very good. There are metaphors and pictures of Jesus Christ in this book. Three specifically, what I'm just going to tell you today. One is that they complained that they didn't have any food, and God sent them little bread wafers called manna. Bread in the form of manna. Say manna.
M-A-N-N-A.
Say manna.
Manna.
Say manna.
Manna.
Say it three times.
Manna.
Say it 2.5 times.
Manna. Manna.
Hey, all right. Manna, manna, man. So Christ is the bread of life. He is our bread that came from heaven. He's also depicted by the rock. Out of the rock, Moses called water. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, we drank from the spiritual rock, Jesus Christ. He is our rock of our salvation. From him came the Holy Spirit, the water. He sent the Holy Spirit to us in his word. So Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the what?
Rock.
Jesus is the what?
Rock.
What's the name of the church?
Rock.
Who's the blank of your salvation? What is the... Sorry, I asked that question wrong. Jesus is the what of our salvation?
Rock.
Very good. The other way Jesus is depicted in this book is that there was a story in this book that we're going to get to where all these little snakes came out, serpents that came and bit people. They got poisoned. And they were crying out to Moses, we're dying, we're getting poisoned. And God told Moses, I want you to take a pole, put a bronze serpent on the pole, and hold it up in the air. And whoever looks at the bronze serpent will be healed. Jesus said in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, so the Son of Man will be lifted up after 3 days. Because when you look at the bronze serpent in the book of Numbers, you got healed. Have you ever noticed the symbol for medicine is a pole with a snake on it? Came from that book, from the Bible. Now you can, when you go to your doctor, hey, doc, just want to know a question. Whenever you go to doctors or wherever, lawyer, whatever you do, go ask people questions. Just ask questions. Questions are more powerful than the answers. Doc, do you know the little symbol with what that is? Well, no, some snake on a stick. I don't know what I got. Well, let me tell you, it came from the Bible in the book of Numbers. These snakes were biting people. And God told Moses to put it on a pole. If they looked at the pole, they would be healed.
Well, yeah, I guess that's why I do it, because I'm a healing person.
Yeah, but you know what else it means? It means Jesus Christ. And when you look at him, as he is lifted up, just like the pole, as you will be healed spiritually, you need to be born again. Doc, would you like to pray right now? Now, just say that and then be quiet. One of the things you have to learn about negotiating is that whenever you negotiate anything, if you're going to buy a car, anybody going to buy a car soon? Okay, house, anything. Whenever you buy something, you want to throw out your offer and then stop talking. And the first person to talk will lose. So they say, how about, they're asking 10 grand, how about 9,200? You don't say 9,200 because. Just say 9,200 and stop and watch what happens. Well, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, they got to get to the yes or no. And they say whatever they say. Say, how about 9,200? You say to the doctor, doctor, would you like to pray? La, 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 la. Jesus is depicted three ways in the book. One, bread that came down in the form of what?
Manna.
Bread that came down in the form of what?
Manna.
Everyone say manna.
Manna.
He also depicted from the what that from which water came.
Rock.
Say rock.
Rock.
Say rock.
Rock.
He's also depicted by the bronze serpent that was lifted up in the pole. The bronze what?
Serpent.
The bronze what?
Serpent.
The bronze what?
Serpent.
Say it three times.
Serpent.
Sounds like you're singing a song. Surfing, surfing, surfing. Okay, let's start over. Here we go. You ready? Sit up. We're going to do it, the whole thing. Ready? Look at the person next to you. Say, you better be ready. Genesis is the book of? Exodus is what from where? Leviticus is the book of what? And Leviticus took place at Mount what? Numbers is two things. The first one is? And Numbers started at Mount, ended at the plains of. There's key numbers, two. There were 2 million what?
People.
2 million what?
People.
And 2 blanket people?
Generation.
2 leaders, who were they?
Moses.
Say it again.
Moses.
Say it again.
Moses.
Say it backwards.
Aaron.
Very good. There were 2 censuses or 2 numberings. There were 2 people who walked out of Egypt and walked into the promised land, and their names were? 12 spies went out to spy out the promised land. How many spies went into the promised land and spied out? How many spies were bad spies? How many were the good spies? And what were their names? The Bible says that they were good spies because they had a blank, blank. A what, what? Ah, you didn't catch that one. Say, different spirit. Say it again. One more time. How many days from Mount Sinai to the promised land? How many days from Mount Sinai to the promised land? How many days did they spy out the promised land? How many days did they end up walking around? How many? Yes, thank you. 40 years times 365, sorry. How old do you have to be to serve in the army? How old do you have to be to serve in the army? How old do you have to be to serve in the tabernacle? Very good. All the time they will, say that one more time. How many years? Say it again, everybody. Very good. And next week we're going to look at all that. The whole time they walked around, their shoes and clothes never did what? Jesus Christ is depicted three ways. One is the blank from which water came. The bread that came down in the form of. And the bronze blank that was on a pole. Very good. The promised land represents a place of God's full what?
Blessing.
Say it again.
Blessing.
One more time.
Blessing.
Whisper it.
Blessing.
Oh, you're so funny. They left Egypt after the first blank. They left Egypt after the first blank. And they left Mount Sinai after the second blank. Give yourself a hand. Amen. Let me say this. If you are in any leadership position, in any form, in at least you lead yourself. Your family, a team, a department at your job, whatever, we all are leaders to some degree. You have a brother, a younger brother, a younger sister. When we go through this book, one of the things you're going to learn is you're going to get a lesson in leadership from Moses. And I will point out these things as we go through because it's a thread through the whole book. Moses, as the main leader, was him and his brother, and actually had a sister named Miriam. Moses' sister was who?
Miriam.
She was a prophetess. Moses got criticized because they didn't have food. God gave him bread. He got criticized because they didn't have meat. God gave him quail. He was criticized because they didn't have water. God gave him water out of a rock. He was criticized because he had an Ethiopian African soul sister wife. He did, okay? He had the fever. But anyway, he had, for all y'all who know what that means, he got criticized because of that. If you look at Numbers chapter 12, he got criticized whenever people criticize him wrong and God judged those people. He got criticized because God judged the people who attacked him. There's a man named Korah. Everybody say Korah. Korah, K-O-R-A-H. Say Korah. You never want to be a Korah. And we'll learn about him later. But Korah led a revolt against Moses and Aaron. And Moses said, okay, let God decide. God killed them. Killed them. I mean, remember last week, if y'all were here last week, I said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't take vengeance on your enemies. I think I was talking about that last week, right? Man of God. And Moses was a very humble man. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was the most humble man on earth, that he spoke to God face to face like a man speaks to his friend. That's the kind of relationship you want to have with God. So Korah comes against Moses, and Moses says, okay, I'm going to pray for y'all. God, I'm going to let God decide. And then Moses even went to some of Korah's boys and says, don't side with him. You're wrong. And they said, no, we don't like you, Moses. And Moses said, okay. Moses stepped back, literally stepped back. The earth opened up and swallowed all them up. And fire came down and burnt up 250 more people. Moses got criticized for that. He did. The people came against him because God did that. And Moses was like, what can I do? Moses was suicidal in this book. He asked God to kill him. He couldn't take it. Moses ended up getting mad, striking the rock. Water came out, and God says, because of that, you're not going to the promised land. And Moses never made it. He died on Mount Nebo. Mount Nebo. Why do I tell you that? Because I have a few more minutes and I can talk to you. Tell you this, because this thread of leadership through the book about Moses is a very powerful thread. And as we go through this, one of the things we're going to challenge some of y'all in next week is in leadership. Because some of y'all are following, you need to be leading. Some of y'all are following, well, you need to be leading here. And because Moses and Aaron stepped out, and Moses literally gave his life for something that was very thankless to him. We have the Bible and what we have and the whole history of our faith because of his sacrifice. But it's a great lesson. Even when he was doing everything he could do, begging God, praying for his enemies, They were stabbing him in the back. He kept on. And if you're in leadership of any form, read this with your eyes open looking for that, and it will greatly encourage you to keep doing what God's called you to do. That's why that movie fired me up so much. Because when I saw that movie, I was like, okay, God, it is worth every stab in the back, criticism I get. It is absolutely worth it. Let's go. And in your Christian faith, sometimes you can feel like it's not worth it. It is worth it. If it's about you, it's not. But if it's about Jesus and what Jesus calls you to do, which is bigger than us, it's worth it. And Moses knew that, and he lived that. And so as we go through this book, I want you to be thinking about that. And I want you to be thinking about your own life and walking out of your own Egypt, your place of bondage. Amen? So let's all bow for a word of prayer. And I want you to listen very closely to this prayer, because some of y'all today need to walk out of Egypt right now. Lord, we thank you so much that you put these amazing stories in the Bible. And I pray we would always take note and know and recognize how amazing these stories are and how much information and insight and eternal principles are contained in them. And Lord God, I just thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you so much that every book of the Bible, you're constantly giving us another way to understand how much you love us and what you want us to do and the freedom you offer us. And Lord, there may be somebody here today, they want to walk out of Egypt. They know they're in bondage. They want to be free. If you would like to be free, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please set me free from the lies of my sin. I believe Jesus loves me, that he died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. I surrender my life into your hand. Please be my Savior. I want to walk out of Egypt. I want to walk into the promised land, and I don't want to wait 40 years. Thank you, God. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you, for whatever reason, want to walk into the promised land, maybe you were saved, but you've just been kind of floundering, or maybe you just accepted Christ as your Savior. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If either one of those represent you, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God's love and forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge your new start in your life. Just stand to your feet, anybody. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God is saying to you, stop. You don't need to wait any longer. Let's do it right now. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Now we know the Israelites walked for 40 years. We're going to ask all y'all as we welcome you to the family of God. We're going to ask y'all to step out of your seat and come walk down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen.